buzz around, keep a buzz around,
and bring home all the honey love to me.
Little bee, little bee, little bumblebee,
let me spend the happy hours roving with you amongst the flowers. And when we get where no one else can see,
cuddle up, cuddle up.
Oh, I've gone all prickly. How lovely. The Bees. Actually, we're not talking about Doris Day. We're talking about a debut novel called The Bees by British author Lalaine Paul. Now, this one's set in a hive where the bees really aren't snuggled up. They're struggling to find unpolluted sources of pollen. And one worker bee called Flora, this is so good, Flora 717, shows that she has the ability to rise above her lowly status within the hive to help its survival. But she has to defy the queen and the priestesses who keep control of the hive. Flora 717 is certainly not allowed to reproduce. The fertility police will get her if she does. The novel, I suppose, does sound like a comment on the ecological collapse of many bee colonies, but as Sarah Lestrange reveals, it's also much more. She's speaking here to the author, Lalaine Paul, from London.
A good way to think of this book is like Margaret Atwood's dystopian novel, The Handmaid's Tale, set in a beehive. In The Handmaid's Tale, the majority of women have become infertile. Feminism has become a dirty word, and the few women who are still fertile are forced to become breeders for the male power brokers. I'm not the only one to make the link between this book and the bees.
Well, I would never dream of mentioning myself and Margaret Atwood in the same breath, but a lot of other people have, and Margaret Atwood herself likes the book, so I guess I'm allowed to say that she's a huge influence on me, or she has been. When I was young, I read The Handmaid's Tale when it came out, and I thought it was fantastic, and she is one of my literary lions, so I'll gladly take The Handmaid's Tale in a beehive, yeah.
The story follows the life of one bee, Flora 717, from lowly worker bee to highly regarded forager. Flora becomes a rebel too. She could be thought of as an insect Cinderella.
Yes, and that wasn't consciously in my head when I was writing, but of course the myth is so deeply ingrained in our storytelling culture. The rags to riches, the Cinderella, the mistaken infant, that it came through without me consciously thinking about it.
The hive in this novel, The Bees, is run like a totalitarian regime. Instead of thought police, there are deformity and fertility police. At its apex is the queen, the only bee allowed to lay eggs.
Yes, the truth is, and this has been the truth of honeybee biological evolution for about 40,000 years, indeed only the queen is allowed the right of fertility. And in fact, the bees themselves decide to raise queens, to kill queens, and to abide by this law. So they are self-regulating. It's a self-chosen totalitarian state. And it's extraordinary that it is so successful, and it baffled Darwin, who couldn't understand why honeybees flew in the face of his theory of evolution, which is, you know, the primary drive is to reproduce. And in the case of the honeybees, they give up that for what he considered to be enlightened altruism, in that only one of their colony has that right, but it's extremely successful and economically profitable. So it is a conundrum that's fascinated people from Virgil to, you know, probably forever, because it's so extraordinary.
And what you've discovered in the process is that it's the perfect setting for a drama.
Oh, when I started to do the research, which I didn't really intend to do, I didn't intend to write a book about life in a beehive, but a beekeeper friend of mine died very young and had time to write her own eulogy for her funeral service. And she put in some quotes about bees, and I thought, well, if they meant so much to her that she put them in her funeral service, I'm going to read about them. And so I started reading in grief and to try and stay close to her. But when I found out about, for instance, the massacre of the males, which is a real thing, that happens every year, pretty much within the same 48-hour period. I thought, my God, you know, this is a celebrity culture where this minority of drones live the life of Riley and do nothing for their keep. They don't work, they defecate in the hive, they're fed by their sisters, they don't even feed themselves. Their entire purpose in life is to go out and mate with a queen from another hive, or an unmated queen, a princess from another hive. And if they do that successfully, they die in the act. And if they fail to do that, they come back to the hive, but at the end of the summer, to save on food, they are driven out or killed by their sisters. And this is a real thing.
And so they really are sex fiends as well, as you portray them?
I presume so. If their only job in life is to mate with a queen, then I imagine that their entire being was focused on getting laid and eating, sleeping, horsing around.
And this is where the Arthurian tale part of the Margaret Atwood quote comes in. Yeah. I want to stick, though, with the matriarchal aspect of this. So, Lillian Paul, in The Bees, there's even a prayer. How does the prayer go?
Okay, so the Queen's Prayer is, of course, inspired by the Lord's Prayer. And in the beehive, it goes like this. Our mother who art in labour, hallowed be thy womb. Thy marriage done, thy queendom come, from death comes life eternal.
Very powerful words.
I did think twice, three times, several times about doing that, because I certainly did not want to give offence. But the words of the Lord's Prayer are so beautiful and profound and have lasted. And I grew up Catholic, and I felt there was a sense of true reverence from the bees to the Queen. And also, in writing it myself, I did not want to parody it or make it ridiculous in any way. So I have been asked in readers' groups and book clubs about that by Christians, and they haven't found anything to take offence at, because they have told me that they were surprised, but then they felt that it was the equivalent form in a beehive. It was truly reverent. I hope that I got away with it.
And that's one of the wonderful things about reading this book, The Bees, Lillian, is that I really felt like I entered the hive mind, even though you've anthropomorphised these characters. I felt like I'd got a sense of how it all works, and I think that must have been quite a challenge for you as a writer to step the biological line, but also just take absolute poetic license.
Yes, it was, and I think if I wrote it in a real rush, because I got so excited about finding out about the massacre of the males and how the drones really live and the Queen's marriage flight and areas of congregation where all the drones go. And there was so much of the truth that was fantastical and wild and crazy and really stimulating to my imagination, that the easiest thing was to stick to the truth. When the story could have gone in any number of ways, the truth of the biology was more compelling than anything else. So that was the lifeline that I kept going back to when I was thinking, you're crazy, or you're writing a story from a bee's point of view. And I'm sitting in my shed in my garden. And, you know, when you're an unpublished writer, nobody knows who you are. Nobody cares what you're doing at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. You know, you're wrestling with this extremely difficult plot point. And you might be mad, but here I am a year and a half later talking to you. And
phew, it turns out you're not mad.
Well, maybe I still am, but my book has been published, so that's great.
Which means the rest of us are mad as well. So,
well, I think there is. We want to share in other people's craziness. That's why when someone steps over the line successfully, we cheer. And that's why it's scary being creative, because so often on the way to that successful step, you've fallen flat on your face or the other end so many times. So creativity is about getting up again and again and not asking yourself, am I crazy, but just doing it.
And The Flight of the Bumblebee ringing to a close. That good advice from writer Lillian Paul, speaking there with Sarah Lestrange, and The Bees is published by Fourth Estate. Across Australia, this is RN. You're listening to Books and Arts Daily.